Blog Talk Radio.
Just heard again from Jess Majors, Psalms 23. That is so profound. I was just thinking about the words. And I want to say them to you today. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. We just heard the Psalm 23, and let us do our Father's prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We have just said the Our Father's Prayer, and God bless you again. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer, and let us continue praising the Lord. Amen. Yes, that songwriter says that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yes, you will, beloved. We thank you so much for tuning in to us. And remember, this is our disclaimer, that all music that you hear belongs to the artist, and we are here to promote those sounds of Vine and encourage you to get those CDs. It's nothing like praising God and worshiping God. Truly, the artist is so blessed to be able to create music that glorifies him. You can also hear us Monday through Fridays from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time here in the United States. Again, that's 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We also would like to encourage you to listen to us on the weekends, which is Sunday morning from 8:30 a.m. to 10 o'clock. That's 8:30 a.m. to 10 Eastern Standard Time here in the United States. We have some awesome speakers and teachers, And truly, we are blessed to be about our Father's business and to glorify him. We thank you, the listeners, for listening to us Monday through Fridays and on the weekend. As I said to you earlier, that we are in transition with our studio, and that the sounds or the music that you hear may not be the best. There are some times that because of the reception of where we are, it may be clear, it may not. It is not a problem with the studio itself or the producer, but it is coming from my own personal wires here at Fivefold Ministry. So do give us a call. And I want to say to all of you here in the United States that our time went up by an hour. I did not know that. Again, our Eastern Standard Time went up an hour, but many of you may think that it's 8:15 a.m. It is 9:15 a.m. So do set those clocks. We are moving now in this early spring and summer, so that we can enjoy and anticipate the beautiful warm weather and to get out. I was telling a friend of mine, Minister Gray, I said, you know, I know summer is coming early. I'm an old country girl from Virginia. We look at the sun and we hear the birds are tweaking. We see they're making their nest. And we say, oh, winter is leaving us. Yes, beloved. Cold air here, United States. We are so grateful on the East Coast that looks like we're going to have our early spring. We thank the Lord for that, because not only do you see the birds making the nest, but there are flies that's coming inside your house. Yes, the little bugs are out. I'm just smiling because I'm a person that really loves the warm weather. Cold weather and I don't get along. But I love the warm weather. But in any event, whatever kind of weather it is, hey, I'll say it again, whether it's warm, cold, hot, snowy, I'm grateful to be in the land of the living. Beloved, are you grateful to be in the land of the living? Yes, we are. So I don't care what kind of weather it is. If I could just wake up and just feel the breeze on my body, just say, thank you, Jesus, for getting me up in the land of the living. I could say it a million times. It's nothing like it. And I thank God for his son, Jesus. Do you know that only through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ that we have the victory? Yes, we have the victory, because through him we are able to enjoy the season. Through him we're able to just be in the land of the living. Through him, we're able to have salvation. So our show is dedicated to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Creator, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the great I am that I am. Yes, and Jesus is Lord. We thank God that only through the resurrection of his blood do we have the victory. And you know what? Every praise, everything that come out our mouth, the earth that's clothed in the glory of God, the creation that he's made, the waters, the wind, the seas, human production, all of it should praise God. Every praise that come out our mouth should glorify him. Matter of fact, I feel like him Hezekiah Walker. As I said, I'm having problems with my stereo sound, so just bear with it until we work it out. But I'm going to keep praising God. Amen. Amen.
Hear the worshiper! Praise all of our praises! I want everybody around the world to put their hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Give it to him. Every praise to our God.
Yes, I had to play that this morning. It's down in my soul. I was just home as soon as I opened my eyes in Atlanta, believing that every praise belongs to God. Good God, mate. I'm starting to feel all right. God bless you, beloved. I don't know if the sound was clear, but I know on the day of Pentecost, when they all came together on one accord, they were able to hear, to understand, and to be in harmony. I hope we're in harmony this morning, because you know what? God is good. Yes, he is. You know, I was listening to the speaker speaking about John, and we're looking at John chapter 9, verses 4 through 6. Again, that's John chapter 9. Matter of fact, let's have 4 through 5. And it is so very profound, because when John wrote his synoptic gospel, when he wrote his book about the gospel of John, and he used historical facts about Jesus, and the question was given to John, why was his book so important? And John emphasized that what Jesus coming into the world, what it actually meant for us, that the word, which is God, the creator himself, became flesh. I'll say it again, that the word became flesh. And that the disciple wrote about John, John himself wrote about the love of Jesus, that Jesus coming into this earth, that we have a chance for victory, that we have a chance over death, that we have a chance for eternal life. So when you look at those Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they call the Synoptic Gospel because they all parallel to each other, and they tie in one particular message, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh, which is Jesus, and he dwelt among them. You can find that in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 14. Let me slow down. Say it again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh, which is Jesus, who walked among us. Good God Almighty, I feel like just listening to that right there, I want to play more sermonic hymns, but I better not do it until we be able to get our stereo system clear and our microphone. But let us take a moment at this time. We're going to look at John, and it starts out in chapter 9 talking about a man born blind. I hear a lot of things are pushing in my spirit that some of us are blind. We are blind to the world. We are blind to ourselves. We are blind to our situations. We are blind to our destiny and our purpose, that we are born sometimes by things that happen in our life and situations around us that we can't see clear. Thank God as we say that the Word was made flesh, that Jesus was passing by, and he saw that a man who couldn't see clearly from his birth, not only the natural spiritual eyes, but also he wasn't able to see clearly the things that was happening in his own life. Sometimes we're able to look out our fleshly eyes, but then we lose the whole meaning of what's being shown to us. In this situation, the guy, he was spiritually blind. He couldn't see out of his eyes at all. However, his spirit, see the difference? That his spirit knew that there was one that could heal him. You know, isn't that ironic? Let's stop right there. That here, we can see out of eyes, and we are blinded sometimes to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And we are blinded that we need to know that Jesus, hey, is the beginning, is the life, is the end for us. That even though we able to hear and see and use our five senses, that we are blind, that only through Christ will we ever have a total being, will we ever be made whole. But here, our natural eyes that we see, we can't see it, but our body yearns that there got to be something else that can satisfy that void or that hollowness in our life. And that is when you have accepted the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but looking at this story, this man was blind, that naturally he couldn't see out his eyes. However, was able to sense that there was one that could give him hope, that here a blind man that couldn't see recognized that he needed that healing, that supernatural touch from Jesus, that he needed to be in the presence of that man who could do miracles. And here sometimes we in our own regular eyes, that we are so blind that we can't see, that we need Jesus. We need Jesus, beloved, when we wake up. We need Jesus when we move on our day. We need Jesus to just show us what is the purpose and destiny for our life and how should we dwell among our brothers. We need the Word. We need the Holy Spirit. We need everything, as the lady said with the issue of blood. If I could just touch the hem, that I could be made whole. This blind man said he could be in the presence of Jesus. He knew he could see. So how is it, beloved? I will ask you a question this morning. How is it that you have natural eyes, but some of you cannot see that you need Jesus? Good God Almighty. You got to always believe that you can't do this thing by yourself. When I woke up this morning, I was grateful that I was able to see another day because I don't know when my time is up, that I'm grateful that I'm able to breathe fresh air and don't have to wear a mask behind COVID. I'm grateful for the little birds who's making the nest under the awnings to my house so that I could see the life and the creation of God and see the little preparations that they made for new life. I am grateful that I'm able to pick up the phone and talk to family and friends, that even though I'm looking through my regular eyes, that spiritually I know that I can't make it by myself, that I know that I need to be in the land of the living, that I know that so blind all my life, committing sin and doing things to my own destruction, that I needed God. Yes, beloved. I turned up the volume that I need God in my life because through that, I'm getting the peace that surpasses all understanding. Through that, I'm getting that supernatural healing that sometimes the doctor can't touch that pain. That through that, I'm given a chance to see the glory of the Lord in the land of the living. Through that, I'm able to live out one of the purposes that God has for my life, which is to be on the radio, that I am so very grateful. Hey, hallelujah, that now that old clay that was over my eyes where I couldn't see, that now that the death, burial, resurrection of Christ have removed it supernaturally, that I'm able to see with spiritual eyes once I accept Christ. When you become a believer, you're a new creature. When you become a believer, things are look different, taste different, you smell different. Hey, everything is different when there is an encounter with Jesus, that no matter how you were frail in your body or how you were blind to what's going on around you, that your eyes can pop open and you can really see the truth about your situation. Good God Almighty. It's one thing to be born blind naturally, that you can't see, have great sight, and you're able to really comprehend or understand those visions that's around you because you're blind, so you can't see at all. It's a void, it's a darkness. But when God has blessed you and has forgiven you and have died on the cross for you, that now where those blinders was covering your eyes, that God has pulled back the scales and you're able to see the beauty of the Lord and the glow of his heaven. Hey, see the miraculous of the Lord and how he can move when everything else is at a standstill, and have mercy and grace on your soul. Hey, that how he keeps you daily. And even though you walking through divers temptations and death valleys, as we said earlier, that God is with you when you have accepted him, that he could minister to you and whisper to you and talk to you and guide you and give you dreams and be able to supernaturally just come into your heart and give you direction. Yes, he can. The same God yesterday is the same God today. God has did so many miraculous things. He had told me one time, I did not know that my car was about to get stolen. I had just pulled up in front of my house. My natural eyes saw that my car was parked, and it was a safe place in front of my door. But my spiritual eyes sensed something different, and my heart sensed something different. And I was able to be still, and I heard the Lord said, take my daughter out the car. Take my children out the car. And I thank God that I was able to walk in the spirit and I was able to hear in the supernatural, that even though I couldn't see the danger because I was blinded just by my own sight, but spiritually God had opened up my sight and wanted me to look around. The danger was all around. And my kids was able to go in the house to safe. You know why, beloved? Because within that same time that I took my child and my children out of my car and walked to my door, when I turned around and looked back, my car was stolen. God forbid. Can you imagine little teeny kids being left in a car and the car is stolen? The consequences and all the bad things that could have happened to my children, because so much is going on in this world. But God was merciful and kind. And he saw the danger, and he quickened in my spirit to listen, to be still, and to open up my eyes supernaturally. The danger was right around the corner. These are the benefits, beloved. When you are a Christian, when you have accepted Christ, though you be blind, you can see about. There's so many situations that I could talk about. But in this particular text, and we're going to get back to a story, because when I start talking about the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, I get caught up because I know what he did for me. I know in my mother's kitchen when I was down all alone and couldn't get a job and looked like everything was against me and my friends was laughing at me and that looked like I was a failure going nowhere in my life, that God showed me, okay, you may not be in college, you may not have a big phenomenal job with a big pay, but God is able. Right then and there, I said, God, I don't know you. My mother knows you, but I'm asking that will you come in my heart? Will you change my life, change my situation, turn things around for me that I can be a better person for not only for myself, but make my mother proud, but and my friends to stop laughing because they knew I was down on my luck and I was doing bad. But God, I'll say it again, but God, I was blind at that point, beloved, blind that I could not resumes. And I thought living under the safety of my parents' house, and I thought moving around daily, coming and going, that I was okay. But when that road got tough and doors of opportunity wouldn't open and I wasn't given a chance for an interview, and I didn't have the finances to take care of myself. I couldn't leave my family house and stand on my own. Hey, at that point, that those blindness, I got a crack, was coming in my eyes to say, you need God. You were so blind. You thought that you could just be around friends and live at your parents and live day to day. But now those blinders are off, that only through God's mercy can you exist, can you survive, can you get that job, can you get the healing for your body, hallelujah, can your situation turn around? Because if it all falls, if it all ends the day, when you tug at the hem of his garment, he got you. You hear a lot of young people say, I got you, I got you. I've been saying, yeah, I know how much you got me. I'd rather have God to have me each and every day and take these scales off, see not only danger, but see my life, what I need to do for me. Good God Almighty. I'm trying, beloved. I'm trying to bring it in. But when you look at verse 9, and you see this man was blind from birth, he didn't have the opportunity to see the glory of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord, and understand the beauty of the Lord. Woo! And his creation. To see the wings of a bird, good God Almighty, the scales of a fish, to feel the morning dew, and feel the air, just have a breeze brush across your face, good God Almighty, and be able to see the color of a rainbow after it rains, and be able to see the seasons as it changes and it snows, and you can see all the frost that comes on the car, good God Almighty. When you can see the little things and the beauty of the Lord, it's such a blessing. Don't take it for granted that you can see. Just like you took for granted that we could breathe and we needed that air and we was able to put these masks on against COVID. And some of us was itching under our eyes and our nose was running. We was coughing in the mask and we were tired of it in our face. I didn't know it make you so wrinkled and old looking. You wear the mask so tight around your face that eventually your skin get pushed and all up. And I have told people that my eyes have actually looked older now than what it did at first. And a nurse told me that the air that we breathe in the mask and it seems that it looks for a wave that the pressure of it, it goes up to your eyes. I don't know how true it is, but I know my eyeballs was wrinkled. I'm so glad that I was able to take those masks off. I was so glad for the opportunity to breathe fresh air. Say all of that as a backdrop, but this man didn't have that opportunity to breathe fresh air. He didn't have opportunity to see his face. He didn't have the opportunity to see the beauty of the Lord in the land of the living. And that this was a Sabbath day, especially where Jesus was walking up and down the road and he was spreading the good news that everybody that was around Jesus had forgot all about. You know, there are certain traditions. There are certain things like on Sunday, most people usually use that as a worship day and they go to the house of worship on Sunday. Some go on Saturday. But there's a tradition that during a Jewish time, that there should be no healing, no cooking, anything after that, starting out that weekend or that evening of. And here Jesus was with a group of folks, and they wanted to know about this blind man. Was he cursed? Is it something that his parents did? What did he sin? They was asking Jesus all these questions about what happened to this person that he's not like us. You know, you hear people sometimes say, well, that's God's testimony that a person could be crippled and God can make them walk, or a person could be blind and God can make them see. Whatever the reason is, Jesus was trying to explain it to them that sometimes that situations is what it is. This doesn't mean that somebody has sinned or you have a generational curse or you are taking on the sins of your parents, that things happen in life sometimes because that's how it is. So Jesus was with this group of people. And one of the things that he said, and this is what we're going to focus on, is the 9 of John. He said, I must work the work of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Good God Almighty. Jesus was saying that what God, the Creator, had commissioned him to do, to walk amongst us, that he was sent by the Creator himself, and that he's able to do the things that God had for him to do, the miracles, signs, and wonders, because he said, and which is very important, that he is the light of the world. And there will come a time that the light that you see, Jesus, the man that's walking among us, doing miracles, signs, and wonders, that there come a time that as he is the light of the world, that as long as he's in that world, he is the light. But darkness is going to come, and that darkness will bring the night, meaning that Jesus knew that his time was short on this earth. He knew that God had just given him so much time to let us know that we need to repent, we need to change, we need to accept the death, burial, resurrection of Christ while we are alive, while we can see out our natural eyes that Jesus is the light of the world, because he was telling the people then that when he dies, darkness is going to come upon the earth, but only through that death, burial, resurrection, through the light of God and believing who he is that walks among us, will we be able to see the light over the darkness? Will we be able to be free and have eternal life? That when I look at this, beloved, that I understand that Jesus is the light of the world. I understand that he is my redeemer. He is the Lord of Lords. I understand that he is my Savior. Tonight, through my natural eyes that I have, that he is the reflection of God, that he is God in creation, that he is my Lord and Savior, that he is Mary's baby, that he is the sacrificial lamb, that Jesus is the repair of the breach. Yes, we have broke fellowship with God because we've been blinded to some of our conversations, our mouths, running our mouths against our neighbors and gossiping and saying all things that's ill, that's inappropriate. Uh-oh, if I step on your toes, just say ouch. That we know that we have not been the best that we could be. That even though we look out our eyes and we know in our heart, soul, and spirit if we're doing right or if we're doing wrong, only through that we realize that there's only one that can help us, and that's that sacrificial lamb. God sent his son Jesus to tell us and show us the way, and that we need through that death, burial, resurrection so that we can have the power. I guarantee you, you're going to have power when you accept God in so many facets and so many levels that I can't even explain it on this broadcast. One day I will. But when your eyes are open that you need Christ and you understand that, oh, let me do my good bidding. Let me do work for, I come about to spread the good news that I'm doing my Father's work, that while you see me, that while you can see I'm the light of the world, accept that. Because during that time, he will be gone. But thank God that even though he died on a cross, that he was resurrected and he sits on the right hand of the Father now to tell us, believe the word. Trust having a relationship or he coming into your life. Open up those blinders and see that you need something more than yourself, that you need God. Hey, hallelujah. When I look at this particular text for myself, when I look at John 4, that I must work the works of him that sent me, I think about the time that God called me early in my life and a young mother with three young kids, that I had to have fellowship. I had a youth ministry, and I had about 60 kids. And my own natural children came in the door, and they wanted my attention. I was in the sanctuary with 60 children, and we was having a little fellowship, and I was praying for each and every last one of them because it was time for them to go back to school. But I saw in my children's face that they looked slighted, that they wanted my attention and my love, which they have. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But this, I was doing work for God. And I told my kids, I said, I'm sorry right now, but I got to be about my Father's business. And what I was telling my children was Right now, I'm doing God's work. Right now, I'm on this radio. Right now, I'm spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right now, I'm trying to make it in so I can hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Right now, I'm trying to spread the good news of him that sent me. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus have given me the opportunity to minister to you. So I'm trying to be about my Father's business right there. Just like I told my children, I said, right now, I got work to do. It's just like a job. You go to a job, you put in the requirements or whatever they want you to do for that job. But when you clock out, it's over. You can go home, have your dinner, relax, watch TV. But at that time, you're a particular employee. So when I look at this particular story, I think about the work that God is using me and that he's sending to me to do. And as I told my children, I said, as long as I live, I'm going to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. My son said, Mom, why do you go on the radio? Why do you go on TV? Why do you do all of this? Why don't you just sit down and rest? And this particular text means something to me because I said, why it is day, why I'm above ground, why you can see your mother, why I'm able to speak and halfway see out my eyes. I'm going to spread the good news of Jesus Christ until I die. Hey, for God I live and for God I die. So while it is day and you're able to see me above ground, I'm about my Father's business. I'm about his work. I'm not perfect. I fall short all the time. And yes, I do commit sin and I repent because I'm not perfect. I'm not Jesus Christ that died on the cross for you. But there are times that I realize, I say, you know, you're being a gluttony. You're eating more than what your body really needs just because the food is in front of you. Or you're being lazy. You're not getting up. And I have a little puppy. Even my dog has to bark at me to get up out of bed and be about busy, doing something constructive. Stop laying around. So there are times that we ourselves fall short. And I realize that I need to make the most of my day. And that's what I want to say to you. Of your day. When you wake up in the land of the living, smile. Be happy that you can breathe fresh air. Be happy that you don't have to put a mask on. Be happy that you can look around and even see the hellhounds coming at you. Be happy because you know you got the victory. Hey, hallelujah. While it is day, while you're in the land of the living, while you are being able to be about your Father's work and business that he sent you to do, do you know what that is, beloved? Being a Christian, being humble, being kind, being useful, being his mouthpiece to spread the good news, being a disciple, showing correction and love and exhortations of your brother, prophesying ye to one another. While it is day, while you have time, so that God can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I can't tell you how important it is that be about the work. John chapter 4 say, I must work the works of him that sent me. When you are called by God, when you are chosen by God, when you are saved by God, when you are delivered by God, when you are healed by God, you got a work to do. God didn't give you a voice not to sing. God didn't give you a voice not to preach or teach. God didn't give you salvation for you not to witness. You got to do the work while you're above ground in his light. Because when the night comes, when death comes, when the grave comes, when your burial comes, you're not able to do the work, beloved. As long as you are in the world, you got to be the light of the world. Good God Almighty. I feel all right. It says here, chapter 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as Apostle Mercer is in the world, she's going to be about the light. Watch YouTube, and you will see my spiritual son. And I call him my spiritual son because he's more of a young man to me that's going through the gospel, not about age, but about maturity, and that I'm training and teaching him and encouraging him in his duties. He is a bishop that God is using around the Caribbean islands. He's also an apostle because he moves in miracle signs and wonders. And he calls me mom. And I try to encourage him to say, look, you got a work to do. While you in the land of the living, you got to push hard. It's like you're racing on that track. You got to make it to the finish line called Glory House. Again, that's Glory House. You can see him on YouTube, and he's from the Caribbean. And I want you to watch him on YouTube. He's one of my sons. Hopefully he'll be coming to the United States, and that I'm trying to encourage him to go forth and God, do the work that God has told you to do. And he wants to come on the radio, so we're going to be bringing him in. And just giving him loving arms and encouragement. Because I have to do the work while I'm here. When I'm dead and gone, I'm no use to this man. So while God has said, pray for him, cover him, I went all the way to Jamaica just to encourage him and his wife to be about a good work. I didn't know them from Adam. But I did what God said do. And I told them, I said, when I'm dead and gone, I still want you to push forward and stay encouraged that God has called you. He has equipped you. He has signed you to do this work, and you go do it, regardless what man say, regardless what people say. You do this work until you die. Why it is light and you are above ground. You do what God told you to do. But when you dead and night cometh, you want to hear that when God give you the opportunity to stand in front of the Lamb Book of Life, you want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, well done. I don't want to hear, get behind me, I know you're not. So, beloved, as always, I try to expound my ministry with music, and we're not able to do what I really want to do, so I'm giving it to you the best that I can, and listen with spiritual ears. Open up your hearing today. That God is telling me to tell you why you are alive and walking on this earth and moving around, why you have the light, the breath, the ability to move and to talk and to have your being, that you must do the work that God has assigned for you to do, that all of us are ministers of reconciliation. All of us have a right to encourage each other, to exalt. And all of us have a right to spread the good news that Jesus is the light of the world. God bless you. You've been listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. Hopefully keep us in prayer. We're still moving around in our transition, and hopefully everything will be set right, all the engineering and everything will be clear so you can hear us better. But remember now, you are the light of the world of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are his ambassador, and he has sent you to do a great work. And you stay encouraged. You preach and teach, and you tell people that the death, burial, and resurrection can set them free to the point that they will have the opportunity to have eternal life, that we need the light, and that we would always tug at Jesus' garment, and we are his disciples. Amen. Amen. Don't you let nobody tell you that you're not called or you're not an ambassador for Christ. Yes, you are. You may not be called to a particular ministry, but you are called as a reflection of God, and you are called as his ambassadors. God bless you again. We have our Bible teaching on Tuesday. We have our midweek service on Wednesday. We have Wisdom Desk, that cornerstone of hearing the word rightly divided on Thursday. And on Friday, we've been really just continue to expound the word because we haven't able to play our concert. And on Sundays, we come to tell you to exalt, edify, and encourage each other and be blessed. If God can do it, it can be done. Remember, beloved, you are the light of the world. So spread the good news. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.